Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Boy, for some reason, the music didn't want to cut off today. I don't know what was up with that. Must be Mercury retrograde. Hey, what can we say? It's a pleasure to have you with us on Sedona Talk Radio live today, and also we are streaming on the internet on Blog Talk Radio. So welcome to everyone, our new and regular listeners. Today, we are going to have a great show. It is all about the power of prayer. You know, this is a topic near and dear to my heart. I can remember growing up Roman Catholic, and, you know, the rosaries were around all the time, and I used to sing all the time with the priest the Latin masses, and we all thought that that was prayer. It was great. We all know what we're doing. You know, you come into church, you put your little hat on, all the women make sure you have your hat on, and you come in and you pray. And then you go, but now let's fast forward, you know, four decades, and we're saying, gosh, when you go to the church now, there's so much noise in there. Everybody's rustling around. There's no reverence. There's no respect for religion or for prayer or for the actual what's actually going on in church right now. You know, there's people are on their cell phones. They don't have hats on anymore. It's flip-flops and shorts. And, you know, it's just life is so different. Today we'll be talking about how the world is changing so fast. And as my guest has said in the first line of his introduction's book, the world is on the brink of change. Yes, it is. The world is changing so fast. We always laugh when we talk to our kids and we say, yes, and I can definitely remember. We lived in the mountains in Pennsylvania. I walked uphill to get to the high school. It was freezing cold. My hair would have icicles on it because I just washed them. And we walked uphill in the snow. Yeah. And they look at you and look like you're crazy. But you know, the world has changed. So today, my guest is Paramahansa Jagadish. And his book is all about the power of prayer. And that is what we'll be talking about today. The book is called The Prayer Project. And he is a world-renowned master healer, teacher, and spiritual leader who guides people in discovering their own stewardship of the soul. And he will definitely explain that to us, what it means about stewardship of the soul. You know, spiritual leaders, we think, what is a spiritual leader? Is it the Pope? Is it the Bishop? Who is it? And some people will say to you, I have none. So this will definitely be an interesting conversation. So welcome so much to the show today, Paramahansa. I'm sorry, I just did that. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Sorry about that. I just did it, and I was really good the first time with your name, wasn't I?
It's fine.
Well, don't you think you can relate? The world has so changed. I mean, I'm almost 60 now. I have seen so many changes, but our younger generation says they don't see change, and they don't feel that there needs to be one.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I was more in touch. But when we look at how things are, they can always be better. And I think that's the drive in human beings anyway, is for things to be better. It's just how we individually look at what is better or what, in our view, is better. So we have to look for the people who are mature, the people who are saintly, and look to them for the idea of what is better.
What is better, yes. What do you mean?
Is living in a benevolent society where, you know, we live in a society mostly controlled by the, you know, political leaders and the corporate leaders, who are amassing more and more power in the world, the mm-hmm. mega corporations and all of that. So we're trying to bring as much heaven on earth as we can, and we're just hoping for that. And many people the work I'm doing with this book is just one example of one person, me, contributing as much as possible. But you're contributing, and hundreds of other people are contributing to the betterment of the planet.
Well, you know, I think when we talk about prayer and the power of prayer, like I had started out at the beginning of the show, you know, being Catholic, I can remember when you walked into church, you were always to bow your head because there was this power, this being, this heaven, but it was always above you. It was always way far away from you. It was not something you were ever supposed to connect with. It was just something that was supposed to have power over you.
Right.
And, you know,
I understand.
And then what do you think?
Well, what we do is, my influence is a lot of the experiential side of religious, any religions. So what that is the experiential side is the mystical or spiritual side where you get direct experience of God. God reveals himself to you in various ways when you do the specific practices of prayer and meditation and good deeds, especially though deep and concentrated meditation will lead you to the mystical understanding and direct experience of God.
And how do you, what does that mean, experience of God? Because some people will say, is that my intuition? Is that my shamanic belief? Is it just something that happens and one day I have a vision? You know, what is that? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the Eastern traditions, it means that you are the veils of illusion and delusion are wiped away and you see the truth of the nature of the world and the truth of your own spirit, and eventually, in the later realizations, the truth of who God is. And this is experienced as all divine qualities, like divine light and divine love, that you are immersed in. You're immersed in these things, and when you come out of that experience of divine light and feeling unity with all things and all creation, then you are alleviated of suffering to various degrees, and you have a love in your heart that's non-conditional, it's unconditional love towards everyone that you meet.
Well, you know, I've had some people that have spoken to me, and they said they've had experiences where, let's use something very basic. I went through a medical thing. It really hurt me. I understood pain and suffering, and when I came out of it, I didn't like to see pain and suffering on other people, so I tried to help those people. And people would say, well, you know, that like they became a nurse or whatever, you know, and that afterwards. But then again, how does that relate to, you know, I felt something of the earth or something of the world or whatever or other people, and then I tried to go out and help it. How does that change? I mean, how does that relate? In other words, like we're saying prayers and we're wanting to change it too. But people are saying, well, I'm going to go out and I'm physically going to do it. Does that correlate or does that go against each?
The correlation, I think, is the way that we help people best is by example.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can commune with God, and it takes hours each day of devotion to your spiritual practice of study of scripture, prayer, meditation, repeating the holy names of God, or whatever it is that you're doing, yoga practice also, and qigong, the different things that you put together for your spiritual practice, eventually gets you into a place where you become liberated of all of your personal suffering, and you experience your sacred identity. And you realize that you're pure spirit which is pure light and love, divine light and divine love. And when you realize that, becoming liberated, then you live from that place the rest of your life. And that's when you have the great power to change and transform people just by your very existence. People will feel that energy, actually. So until then, we help as we may, but some of the best help is to become illuminated yourself with this divine energy.
And how can people start to take steps towards that? Because I know some people have crazy families. They're going to school. They go to work. They say, I don't even have time to do my laundry. You know, how am I going to be, you know, how am I going to change and become this in this day and age?
Well, I think that's part of the reason behind the book I produced, which I had written quite a number of years ago, but it took a long time where I felt ready enough to publish it. But it's the prayer project, Together We Can Change the World, the 3-minute, three times a day solution for world change. So this can become someone's spiritual practice of devoting 3 minutes morning, noon, and night for deep, concentrated prayer for the benefit of others, for the cleansing of the world, especially the cleansing, purification of the mind, you know, thoughts, actions, and motivations of all the people in power in the world. So the prayer, because you're cultivating loving kindness and compassion while you're doing the prayer, and you're doing, in a way, you're doing bodhisattva activity or what it is to be a good Christian or a good Jew or a good Buddhist or a good Hindu, the other tradition, native traditions that exist, Hawaiian traditions that exist, all of them have their way of developing virtue and doing prayers for the benefit of others.
And it's also about developing a ritual to do it. You say 3 minutes a day, and to have it at specific times. And I think that's more about being committed to what is more important. I know many times in myself, you know, someone would say to me, well, you know, I'm watching this show, and it's like, well, but you really know that you needed to be doing something else. But it's what I wanted to do. It's not what I needed or should do. And I think that conversation is definitely something, you know. We get up in the morning and we say, you know, I really should wash my hair and put it in curlers, but I committed to, you know, 3 minutes this morning. What do I do?
you know,
where most people go.
You do it while you're doing your curls then. You bring your prayer into everyday activities at some point. But I think part of the answer of this question you're giving me is spiritual life is difficult in the beginning, and resistance comes up at different times. But eventually the satisfaction and the exalted feelings that we feel and the opening up of our life into a very good and righteous life brings all kinds of joy and happiness and fulfillment. And when we realize that, then we really dive and we do our practice more and more. We commit more and more time to it. And the 3 times a day, 3 minutes, is a jumping-off point where whenever you feel like doing prayer, prayer becomes eventually nonverbal. We start with verbal prayers until we generate the love and the kindness, and then we just do it without words. And eventually people will be at different times throughout the day, they'll feel this love, and they'll generate, and they'll say, God bless everyone in this world, and may everyone be healthy and happy and benevolent towards each other, including all the leaders in politics, finance, religion, business, everywhere.
And it does matter that you do pay attention. And what I was saying also, you have two kinds of prayer in your book that you describe. And when you're saying about the second one, about bringing orderliness, you know, and, you know, you're bringing something, you're paying attention. You're centering upon your inner self, not just your outer self. You know, am I going to worry about my hair today, you know, or am I going to worry about taking care of my soul and my heart today, you know, or actually
yeah.
about everything else other than just my outside being, which so many
yeah.
people
and,
are so focused on.
Yeah, and there's those different steps that you take. Eventually, you understand the shallowness of what
right.
the TV commercials and society trains us to be concerned about. And then you work on yourself, and you develop all that love. And then you want the benefit of others, and then you start generating that compassionate attitude and benevolence towards others, and you work towards that as well, and continuing to nurture yourself.
And I think, yeah, also a lot of times people will say, I want things for others, and they're inconsistent in their patterns, but then they turn around and they're saying, well, what did I get out of it? Or, you know, oh, who's going to pray for me now? And it's sort of
right.
like this vicious cycle where they kind of didn't get the
it
point.
Is.
You have to start with yourself, right?
You have to start accepting yourself, and through the acceptance of yourself, start appreciating and loving yourself. So that's the place to start, and the people who are listening who have already done that, so to speak, can now start concentrating on spiritual study, prayer practice, meditation, and the other things in life for the benefit of others.
And all religions, I think, too, have some sort of prayer, but also some types, we say, of cultures have prayers.
Yeah.
You know, different ethnic groups have prayers. They may use different words. They may call it different things. You know, even the hippies
yeah.
had prayers. You know, they called it music, you know. I mean, we
yeah.
have to
well,
look at it. It comes in all forms and all waves, right?
Sort of, yes. I mean, we don't want to that can go very extreme, that can go very far in a certain way where we, you know, we don't want to say that someone who loves food and pigs out on food, you know, five
right.
times a day, that could be their form of prayer. Of course I know that's not what you meant at all, of course. but within reason, you know, we want to dedicate ourselves to the higher power, the, you know, from which this creation even comes about. If we go out into nature and we breathe deeply and we really be with nature, we will tune into a very self-empowering energy that we will love at some point. And that's the energy of God's creation. Now, if the energy of God's creation is so wonderful, you know, a beautiful sight, the smell of beautiful roses or flowers or something, or
mm-hmm.
love, you know, human love, people who love each other in whatever relationships exist, you know, father, parents to children, children to parents, and lovers and friends, you know, all of that. That is the energy of the creation. And the God himself, whatever name you want to use for that, is the source of that. So God's energy is even more, it's inconceivably more than whatever we experience as human beings. So we have a lot to look forward to. You know, the greatest love we've ever felt humanistically, and compassion, that becomes 100,000 times more when we meet God face to face and our body shivers in ecstasy of love as we meet God face to face. That's where prayer will lead us to, is exalted ecstasies of communion with God. And when that happens to us, we become illuminated and become saints, no matter while we're working in society, while we're taking care of our kids, et cetera.
So let's talk about the elephant in the room, so to speak, as some people would say. I don't believe in God. I don't believe there is an extra power. I don't believe there is an extra energy. And you just, you know, most people now in this enlightened world, I can say in 2014, will look at you some similar like, okay, you're crazy. But I will say to you that, you know, many decades ago, most people would look at you and not understand or understand. So I think that this society has evolved into believing different things about what that power would be and what it would mean for them.
Yeah. Well, for people have to look to what, who has it said, follow your bliss? There was someone, I think Mr. Campbell said, follow your bliss. And for people who are agnostic, maybe they don't know, does God exist or not, or what is it, if it does exist. I think you follow your bliss in life as long as it doesn't harm yourself or others, right? Follow your bliss without harming self or others, and that will lead you. And like I tell people who want to find the right spiritual path or the spiritual teacher or anything in life, deep and concentrated prayer will open those things up to you. So pray. If you don't believe in God but you want to know what exists, pray to be revealed the truth. Whatever that is, the truth of this existence. How did this earth come about? Pray to be revealed those truths. And your prayer will galvanize your mind and your facilities to concentrate enough that something will be revealed to you.
And I think that now that meditation has become so globally accepted, it has really opened up more people, because a lot of people are saying, well, I'll try meditation, you know. And the answer is, you know, set your timer and sit your butt down for 2 minutes and don't get up. You know, eventually something is going to change. For some people that will resist it. Yeah, some people resist it, you know, for months and years, and they'll say, well, I sat down for 2 minutes every day for a year and nothing happened. Okay, so do it for 2 minutes for the next year till it does. But eventually,
I think people have to come. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get advice also on how to do meditation correctly, because we could sit for 2 minutes and identify with our thoughts, and we're not going to have a good time. But if we sit and detach and observe our thoughts, then we're going to find the truth and become illuminated with this divine light. We must detach from the mind and observe the thoughts for those 2 minutes. That's just one way of meditating.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we could detach from the mind and focus on a holy seeds, holy syllables, or a holy, you know, you can think of God or something, or some object. But the main thing here is you're detaching and observing the mind.
Okay. You know, it's so interesting. This is a way far on the other end of the paradigm, but it's a correlation. When I was speaking to people about walking for exercise, and I said, you put in those headphones and you walk, you know, and you think, I have to get my heart to move, so I've got, the more I pump my legs and the faster I walk, I'll be able to do the job. And it's kind of, you haven't disconnected from anything to get your heart even to work better or to think about your body as a whole. They're still thinking in parts. Well, my head can listen to the music and my legs can do the job and my heart's going to be just fine. In other words, there was so much disconnect in that picture. You know, and then when I speak to people about meditation, they get the same disconnect, you know. Well, I had my cell phone next to me, and it was vibrating, and, oh, my gosh, did you smell that lady's perfume in the room? And, oh, gosh, it's hot in here. You know, that kind of disconnect. So I think it's really learning, if it takes you that year to learn how to get out of some of those things and disconnect them one to one, you know, one at a time, eventually you'll get there. It's just that it just takes a little bit longer for some people to be able to disconnect.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Can you tell us about what prayer would mean to you and how you would start that? So how would you say, I'm going to sit and I will select a prayer, you know?
Either you have your own books or you can go online for prayers. The book that I have, The Prayer Project, is a book that you can get from online, Barnes & Noble or Amazon. But we're also offering a free copy, a PDF copy, that you could read on your computer or print it out. So that's for free if you go to prayer-project.com. The website prayer-project.com, you can get the book for free. So in that book, there's a lot of prayers. There's maybe 100 or more prayers that you can choose to work with at any time you want to. So that's pretty easy that way. And then you either discipline yourself and try to do it 3 times at a specific time, whether it's a time, or you say to yourself, I'm going to do it right before breakfast, lunch, and dinner, maybe. If you have 3 meals a day, then maybe you'll sit down to have those meals, but before the meal, you'll spend your 1 to 3 minutes doing the prayer, and then you'll eat. So whatever works for you to do it and see where it leads you.
So I have some simple questions. People say I need to memorize the prayer instead of reading it. Is that or is that not true?
No, it doesn't matter. Remember
doesn't
that eventually,
matter.
Yeah, eventually you may not use words for prayers. You'll just use feelings because you'll be starting to feel the energy.
And then in selection of the prayer, in your book, there are many, 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 many prayers. So choosing one, if you want to be able to affect change, I guess, do you stick with one prayer for a period of time in repetition, similar to like a mantra, to keep going? In other words, do you want to start every single day, every single time it's a different one? Or do you think that repetition is best?
I think it's whatever someone wants to do is best. Everyone's individual. Okay. So I think it's whatever the people want to do, whatever gets them to do it. So whether it's variety or the same one over and over again, it's really, in my tradition, our prayer is the holy names of God. Because we know, this might not be the right example, but when someone calls your name, you feel something from it, and even though God doesn't need to feel anything from us, when we chant God's name, we're pleasing God actually. That's just in my specific tradition, and of course many traditions of the world do that same practice, and so that's the practice that we do, and that's prayer itself, because the holy name purifies everything when it's used.
Fabulous. Would you like to give us an example of a prayer?
Well, we can go with the main prayer of the book itself.
Yes.
This will be good for the audience. You wanted me to do a sacred energy transmission for everybody?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we
Thank
can
you.
Combine that. Yeah, we'll combine that with the prayer. So this is something that just when the sacred energy goes out, if you want it, then you smile and you'll receive it. If you don't want it, then that's fine. It's perfectly okay, and you will not receive it. So it's all up to each individual out there. But let's start by sitting comfortably wherever you are, taking a few deep breaths, Some people say smell the roses, blow out the candles. That's the way to breathe, in through the nose and out through the mouth. And you do that a few times because it balances you. It gives you oxygen for your mind. And then let me do the transmission right now for all who want to accept it, the sacred energy. And then I will begin. This is the main prayer I want people to start with if they're inclined, and it's on page 20 and 21 of the actual book. And the first part of the prayer, the first prayer or first part of this three-part prayer, is for oneself. And when I say God, you can say whatever you want there, higher power or the divine. Don't be offended by my use of the word God. Okay? God, I humbly ask for your blessings to purify my body, mind, and soul and restore me to my natural condition of love, peace, joy, and wisdom. Amen. And then the second part is longer. Here we're going to reach out and ask the divine to intervene. Most loving and compassionate God, the divine power and energy of the universe and beyond, I humbly ask for your blessings to purify and illuminate with your light, love, peace, and wisdom all beings of the universe, all beings of the earth, all beings who are in power and affect the lives of others, especially our government leaders, business and financial leaders, and our spiritual leaders from the entire globe, that they may all be cleansed and purified of negative motivations and actions and filled with your light, love, peace, joy, and wisdom. Amen. And then the third part is a so be it type of prayer. Let this happen now within me and spread around the world, transforming and bequeathing all noble qualities and actions expressed and enacted everywhere upon everyone and everything. Amen. Very, very good. So that may have taken 3 minutes, just that alone.
Very good. And you just ended on 333.
Okay.
On my computer, yes.
Very good, very good.
Yes. So when we are doing this, would you recommend that people say it aloud or say it in their mind? So many people will say that if you haven't said it out loud, your whole body and energy would not change that.
No, I disagree. I say do it whatever way you want to do it, so that you do it. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the top priority. Do whatever way you want to. But at the same time, doing it out loud adds the dimension of the vibration of your vocal cords. And so in some way, it adds to it a little bit. And so in that way, you're correct, you know. So I say do it in different ways. You can experiment with how you do it as well and see what you like. We don't know what we like until we experiment. And things will change. you know.
And I think also, too, sometimes when you do this, you say, I will do it for whatever situation I'm in to be able to stick to my what I have committed to do. And then you will find yourself at a time being around people, and you may go ahead and do your prayer, and they will be like, what are you doing? So in that way, you then are sharing what you are doing to be able to potentially help someone else be able to start praying. So in that way, that in my mind is considered the prayer project, because what you're doing is you're actually sharing, you know, as you're saying and doing and giving, and other people hear it, and it sort of starts that chain.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, you know, we talk about, like I'm going to be doing some events just for the prayer. We're going to be doing a live event at some point, August 23rd, and people will be able to also receive it through live streaming. And if the first one is successful, people really like it and want to participate, then we'll do more of them. But it's very good to pray on your own, but when you pray with others, it magnifies the efficacy of the prayer itself. And we are social beings, and so we really want to have people get in groups and do prayer together as well.
And especially if someone might not be introduced to the idea of praying, it will, you know, they'll be inspired, or they will be inquisitive enough to actually figure out more. And then maybe they themselves will be able to take on that same practice.
Yes, exactly. We actually, at the website, prayer-project.com, we're asking people to pledge, to make a pledge that I'm going to be doing this prayer regularly, or whatever prayers they want. I'm going to pray regularly. We want people to take this pledge and see how far it goes. My clientele is around the world, so we already have people in different continents and different countries praying right now. But we want to see if it's going to be more than just a few hundred people doing it. We want to see maybe a few hundred thousand will come together. And if that happens, then there will be a real change that will be observable. If we get a few million people, if a few million people really dedicate, this world will shift and change. And I think that that is, this is the way that we can actually do it. It's a nonviolent way of doing it. It's a way that generates your own closeness to the divine and improves your own life with greater joy, happiness, and situations open up for you when you do prayer, when you do benefit things that benefit others. Yes.
And I think so, when you're able to do it yourself, sometimes people will say that takes away a lot of the judgment. So as you said, you can do it yourself, because sometimes, you know, when you're in situations and other people are judging you about what you're doing or what you're saying or what your beliefs are, it tends to not really stop you, but it definitely does influence. It's sort of like you're carrying a birthday cake around in the sun, you know. It's going to melt it a little bit, and it's going to curdle that icing, you know. But I think, you know, I think when you're by yourself, you can really put the power and the emphasis on it and be able to start to become strong in your feelings and your beliefs, and then you'll be okay. But getting started, sometimes that is a little stepping stone.
Oh, yeah. And like I say, your audience is a wide, wide audience. So whatever works for each individual, do what works. You know,
right.
Do what works. In my tradition, I live with I've done a lot of retreat practice with a small group of saintly people where we're all dedicated to our practice, and we might live together, and part of our practice is coming together as a group, and the other part is we go off to the different corners of the retreat center or our own little rooms and do our private practice. So throughout the day, we're doing a few hours on our own at several times a day, and a few hours in community several times a day. So everything helps. Community helps support each other. Being alone helps us dive a little bit deeper sometimes. and gives us the variety that we might prefer. Yeah.
And, you know, I think also, too, sometimes your selection of the prayer, let's say something for to not harm others, and you may realize in saying that prayer, emotions may come forth. I think this is the most powerful part of prayer, when your soul can connect with the prayer and say, when in my past may I have participated in something that I shouldn't have, and to accept, you know, and acknowledge that, but then also to forgiveness and move on. I think that is the most powerful part of the prayers also.
Yes, you're right. Exactly.
I mean, so you don't want to shy away from those type prayers because, you know, people will say, they may feel a little, you know, a little ping in them and say, no, I'm not going to do that one. But that might just be the one that may be that's little
yes.
something that's speaking, you know, to you.
That's true. That is true. Very good.
Yeah,
very good.
And it's different. So in people doing this, you know, I can remember after Katrina, I had had a dream at one time because I stayed for Hurricane Katrina. I live in the New Orleans area, and I still do. And I can remember so many people were saying, I'm praying for you. Well, one night I went to sleep, and I imagined all of these people holding hands, and they were all standing with their face towards the Gulf of Mexico and their back towards the city. And they were all lined up along the coast. And it was like, goodness gracious. You know, when I got up the next day, I had asked another spiritual friend of mine. She says, they were all lined up praying for the city. And it was like, goodness. So we do know the power of prayer. We just, many people may see it in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure. We come from different backgrounds, you know. So.
Right. And we also, we talk about, too, people are now praying for radiation to be gone. And I know there's a lot of heavy prayer groups going on the West Coast to be able to remove the radiation from the water. So there are these environmental type things that you're able to do, but also, you know, just for the people in your immediate surroundings.
Uh-huh, sure, yeah. Everything can be done. And the basis of this prayer also is for environmental concerns, because it's the environment that we live in. Our motivation is to keep the environment pure and wonderful for the generations to come. You know, not only for human beings, but all animals and plants as well.
Yes, it's so interesting when people still believe that, you know, I can dump all of my garbage out of my boat after I have a party into the ocean because, oh, well, whatever, you know, I don't feel like cleaning it up later. And then they go on their merry way, and you're thinking, do you feel that such a disconnect? Or when they go to a physician or they come to me and they say, well, you know, I need you to fix it. Whatever it is, just give it to me and you're going to fix it. And it's like, okay, you know, and I understand that, you know, the fix-it is not just in a bottle, in a can, in a surgery, or, you know,
right.
We're just going to fix you by these external means affected on you, when people can't understand that the actual effect is inside of you that has to change.
Yeah, but, yeah, exactly. We and sometimes, you know, traumas that we have, or diagnoses that we get force us to change. But the other thing is that through prayer, we can feel such a being touched by God or being touched by the divine. When we feel that higher touch or that higher existence, then the lower things, the lower desires fall away. And naturally, we become virtuous that way. And if we're virtuous, then we're loving, kind, and compassionate, not only to human beings and ourselves, but the same for animals and plants. And then we naturally become more aware and more diligent in our efforts to live a green life, what we call a green life of ecological values.
And I think it's also, too, to realize that we are all one part of the energy field and we are all one part of the world. And people say that things don't affect us or we can, quote, get over it or you can just wish it away or whatever it is. But there was a study out of Tulane University here, and I think it just came out yesterday or the day before, and it said that children that were exposed to violence under the age of 18, they took their DNA and they said that the exposure potentially has shortened their telomeres. In other words, it has left a, what she called the person who did the study, she said that it left a scar on their DNA. And then that scar in their DNA would further leave them predisposed to disease. And then when we always think about that, we say, if I'm seeing something, I can feel it in my body, it does make a change in my body, and then it's up to me to recognize that and heal that part. But I think with so many times as people, you know, over the decades, we've never recognized that these things going on around us, you know, like you said, with the politics or the power or the environment,
yes,
or other people or anything, it does affect our energy as an entity.
Yeah, we can call this toxicity. So toxicity can be in the realm of emotions or in the realm of particulates, chemicals, different things that affect us negatively. And when we look at the body, mind, soul, we want to be holistic. And so you being a doctor and me being, I do the psychological type of therapy work that I do and counseling and the spiritual work that I do, I do it holistically. So I also provide certain products for people to cleanse the heavy metals out of their system and other toxins that have accumulated in the physical system. And then the karma clearing and ancestral healing that I do to cleanse out the soul, cleanse out the emotional troubles and baggage, and including the causal level of physical problems and situational problems, relationship problems, the different problems that each of us have to work through, including traumas and all of that. So.
And all of that does have a ding effect. I know I was reading some books yesterday that are, I think, in the 1900s, and they were saying that, you know, doctors were revered and respected because they always had the magic bullet, you know,
mm-hmm.
And they called it, you know, that it was going to fix you, and then you were going to put me on a pedestal, you know, and we think about spiritual leaders. Am I going to say a prayer and I'm going to be on a pedestal? You know, because they're going to heal me. And I think that really all of these things interact. It's you, your environment, your people around you. It's other human beings. It's your spiritual.
Exactly.
It's your mind, body, soul. And it's all those interactions that are so vitally important to be able to exist in this world today.
Yes, exactly. And get the help one needs. You know, we seek for self-empowerment and we seek for being able to help ourselves. And so sometimes we go to others first to start the ball rolling. And as we learn and study and get the help we need, then we start nurturing ourselves on a deeper level. You know, by
absolutely
ourselves.
And it does take some practice, and it does, and you know, for the listeners, this is not something that we are saying, you know, hey, I can click into this tomorrow and I'm good to go and, you know, I'll be on to the next thing. It is a practice of life to learn things about yourself and, you know, who we are and where we are and what we're participating in. It has just been decades and decades. I mean, the next generation will learn something different, don't you think, and the next one?
Oh, yeah, sure. And like the Eastern spiritual traditions, the experiential, they pride themselves, but they have the techniques to experience what the scriptures talk about, where you meet God face to face eventually. And so the idea there is that we clean up our lower self that has all the habits and patterns and limitations and all of that. But we do that in order for the spirit to shine through our lower self, where eventually we attain total freedom, where we realize our sacred identity, our actual true self. So there's that level we want to aspire for as well.
Because it's, you know, sometimes people have so many names and labels. They're like, what did you do when you've got this 20-page CV, and who are you, and where have you gone through? In other words, how many fires have you walked through? And if I don't think that's enough, you know, then you'll be cast to the side. And I really think that's where people need to start dissolving that vision, you know, of what or who people might be.
Yeah, if we live, you know, of course we don't want to be judging and stuff like that, but when we live, if we're influenced by a religion where God, you know, carries what, lightning and brimstone and all of that stuff,
right,
then we're connecting, we're not connecting to God himself. God himself is all love, all joy and happiness. That's God himself. Anything less than that is maybe a creator God or some person who has evolved into being able to, someone gets elected to be the president of a company, or someone creates their own company. They have, and it's successful, so they have the ability to do that, to run a company or a country or a town or what have you. So likewise, there are beings, whether they're human beings or some intelligent being, who has the capacity to run a universe or a galaxy. Then those are, of course, much more evolved type of an intelligent person, if you will, and they could still have some demands. They're not God himself. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a little
right,
tricky.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, but I totally understand. It definitely does make a difference, you know, because in this world of everybody trying to be on the internet and trying to do business here and there and, you know, trying to make their mark, they're feeling more and more like they're losing ground. And I think the ground, in terms of what we're speaking, is they aren't really losing ground in the real world that you and I are speaking of. They're losing ground in that outside world where those things just don't matter anymore. I know I was just recently redoing one of my websites, and I went to the biography page, and my web person says, you have to put this, this, and this, and this. Well, I sat and I hummed and hawed. I've been humming and hawing on this page for 2 years. Finally, I just said, you know, I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I said, I am not getting up out the chair till I finish that. And I wrote out, and I said, I am. And I had the top, and then under it I said, a person. And then I put a loving spirit, kind heart. I could not put anything else on there. And she's like, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. People aren't going to be understand. And I just kept going, but you don't understand, you know?
Exactly.
And I think that's where the dichotomy, really, that's where really we're having so many issues these days, is I think we're right in the limbo point, at the tipping point, you know, where people are still seeing all of that extra garbage, you know, it dwindling away, but you still have to feel like you have to survive in it. So I think will come, you know?
Yeah, we're talking about how the society is set up, and in the West, it's not community-based, it's individually based. And when it's individually based, we all have a tougher time. We go shopping for ourselves, we cook our own meals. But there are other cultures of this world in Asia and even Europe, but especially Asia and other places where people live in communities, and you don't have to cook every day. You take turns cooking, so maybe you're going to cook a few times a month, and you get to use your time in your hobbies and you know, friendship with others and all of that. And if you have children or the elderly, then you're going to have help with that in community. And we in the West, we have to understand that that's a viable way to live. we want to break into these new paradigms where we can create communities of different types, and people can come and live, and they can work with and for the community and have it self-sustaining and nurture and support each other in a good life. And I think that's where things are going. That's where the work I'm doing is. I've already purchased some land to create at least one or two retreat centers for people to come, and they can come for a weekend or they can live the rest of their lives. And, you know, they live in a virtuous way and commit to their spiritual practices. And that's a viable way of life. It's completely viable and one to be proud of, so to speak.
And, you know, I can remember after Hurricane Katrina, I said, you know, why are we rebuilding this stuff? I said, we really need to be developing communes because, you know, people well, that was my version of it. You know, people would be able to be together to help more. I caught myself the other night saying on the show, I think the worst two inventions in the whole world were airplanes and the Internet. Because on airplanes, it scattered the families. It scattered communities. So now you've got, you know, people so set apart that they don't even have a sense of any backup or any resources anymore. And then the Internet, because everybody goes on there and wants to prove everybody else wrong because they're always right, you know. And it's just you've really lost that sense of, you know, that my energy is just as important to me as it is to you, as it is to you, and as it is to you, and, you know, and that has to be cultivated. You know, I think about that all the time. I had, myself, you know, I had said, you better keep me a piece of that land, by the way. Because I mean, that is what I had dreamed of for so long, is that people would just get up and be able to start doing things together. You know, even down to something so far off the mark, I says, you know, hey, what if everybody said at 12 noon, everybody went outside their buildings no matter where they were, and they just, you know, exercised for 10 minutes and went back in their houses or their work. People looked at me like I had 10 heads, you know. But it's the same idea as praying. You know, you're just committing to something that you're saying that's important to you.
Yeah, and the benefits are truly wonderful and real. You may not feel them right away, but they're cumulative, the benefits of joy and happiness and your life opening up to what, you know, abundance and prosperity in life comes from a joyful heart and a loving, giving heart. And you can develop all that through the prayer practice. But the other thing is the human condition is the human condition, and we're trying to break through that. And so the Internet also is a place of great things that are going on, where people, you know, are coming together in community and different things. And when you search for community, because I've advised several people in the past, is you want to find a like-minded community. That's the thing, is there's different communities out there, and there has to be a like-mindedness enough to keep the community focused. Without that, it could really lead to the lower emotions of envy, jealousy, and pride and ego, those different things that cause a community to deteriorate. So,
when you sow your seed, you want to be growing a crop. You don't want to be growing a root. You know, you really need to be able to flourish somehow, some way, without something always going on, you know, and I really think that's important. Well, you know, we have blown through this hour, so I thank you so much for being our guest today. Could you give us just information on how to contact you and purchase your book? That would be wonderful.
Oh, okay, yes. The main website is Stewardship of the Soul, stewardshipofthesoul.com. The prayer-project.com website will lead you to the Stewardship of the Soul. But that's where you can get the free download for the book. You join the newsletter, I believe, and then you get something to get the free book. And you can make your pledges if you want to. Find out more through the website, and there's probably a way to email through the website. We have a phone number, 877- 1133, but it's a private, it's my assistant's, goes into his phone, so it's due within reasonable hours. Otherwise, it's through emails that we can communicate, and you can find out at the events page where I'm going to be. Mostly I'm in California, New York, Philadelphia, and in Europe.
Very good. Thank you so much for being with us today. It has been a pleasure, and this is definitely a topic I think that people will be able to reference. This show will be on archives, you know, and they can always come back to it.
Well, thank you for having me on as a guest. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
So if you'd like more information about Parmasana Hasana Jagadish, please do visit the website. There is a link directly there to the website and where you'll be able to purchase the book. The book is called The Prayer Project, Together We Can Change the World. And it's about 3 minutes, three times a day, solution for world change. And I really think you will enjoy the book. It is very simple to read. It is not something that goes into this whole esoteric story and you feel like you're lost. It is a great book. And definitely do pick up the book and go to his website. So you'll be able to get a PDF of the book for free. And also you'll be able to sign up for the project where everybody will be committing to saying, yes, I am going to pray. So thank you so much for being with us today. It has been a pleasure. And until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a wonderful evening.